The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, friends. What a privilege it is to serve Christ with you at First Lutheran. I thought I'd start my time with you by telling you a little about my journey. I've spent much of my life trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, what we mean by vocation or calling. I studied music in college, and I studied religion. I was never going to be a minister. My dad was, and he had many good years in two long pastorates. But there were also difficult years at another church in another town. It took a toll on him and our family, and we went through some rough times. I knew ministry was not for me. But when I came to study at Nebraska Wesleyan, I was still involved at First United Methodist and then Bethany Christian Church, working with youth groups and participating in many ways. After several years, I realized I was doing ministry anyway. So I gave in, went to seminary, and was ordained as a minister and have served several United Methodist churches in Nebraska. Along the way, I have also been a volunteer EMT and a volunteer host on a radio show. I have helped facilitate strategic planning, led spiritual retreats, and served on several nonprofit boards. I've been involved in community organizing, lobbied for legislation, and served as a mediator. At age 49, I started following another path that I thought would lead to medicine, but it brought me back to the church instead. That led me first to Omaha and then to Lincoln and 13 years at St. Paul United Methodist Church here. 5 years ago, I retired from the church and then went right to work fighting the death penalty. Through all that, a lot of the time I have still wondered what to do with my life. What I had planned was a direct line from start to goal. But what really happened was more like wandering with turns and loops and curlicues all over the place. There's a Sufi saying, "Blessed are the flexible, for for they will never be bent out of shape. Or, as the Indigo Girls sing it, you'll never fly as the crow flies, get used to a country mile. More and more, I've come to understand that the question is not so much what, but who. Not what I should do with my life, but who I should be. Not what God wants me to do, but who God wants me to be. That's the key question. Who are we? That's what we mean by vocation. I really appreciate a little book by Parker Palmer. It's titled, Let Your Life Speak. In it, he writes, vocation is not a goal to be achieved, but a gift to be received. Discovering vocation does not mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond reach, but accepting the treasure of the true self I already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there somewhere. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God. Not a goal to be achieved, but a gift. There's a Hasidic tale in which a wise old man, a rabbi named Zuzia, said, in the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zuzia? Pursuing our vocation, our calling, means living out who we are at the core of our being, being authentic to our true self. And that's very freeing. We don't have to have everything all figured out at the beginning. We can just be on the journey and trust that God will guide us. Here at First Lutheran, we have a labyrinth painted on a large piece of cloth. Maybe you've seen it in the upper room. Maybe you have walked it yourself. The labyrinth is an ancient way to help people pray. It's a pathway that winds around in a circle, looping back and forth within a larger circle. It's not a maze. It's not possible to get lost, even though it might feel that way sometimes. If you stay on the path, you will find the center, and you'll find your way out. I remember one time walking the labyrinth and feeling good about how I was getting closer to the center. And then the path turned and took me back to the outer ring again. I was beginning to wonder if I was really making any progress at all when the path turned once again, and there I was in the center. Our human journey is filled with surprises and meanderings. Sometimes these are obvious blessings, and sometimes they seem like disappointing or even painful setbacks. But if we keep following the path, we do find God at the center. The gospel reading from Matthew suggests another metaphor in the parable about a sower who is scattering seed. When the seed falls on good soil, it grows into plants that produce grain abundantly. Jesus explained the parable by saying the seed is the word of God, and people receive it differently. Sometimes we are like rocky soil or shallow, hard, dry soil, and our relationship with God doesn't have a chance to grow. Sometimes we're so busy and preoccupied that God gets shut out, like thorns that choke and crowd out the good plants. Still, the sower doesn't judge the soil, but scatters the seed generously. Our calling as God's people is to receive it, to cultivate it, to improve our souls and open ourselves to God so we can become good soil and bear fruit. We don't have to have everything figured out or do it all perfectly all the time. God simply asks us to keep working at it and stay on the journey together. I'm glad to join you here at First Lutheran for these next few months. Pastor Dan has been a good friend to me over the years and has been a great help in making some decisions I faced. I have enjoyed having Pastor Justin as a colleague in interfaith work these last few years. And I know some of you already from our various involvements in the community. So it's a privilege to do Christ's work with you. This time of transition at First Lutheran is a journey. It will probably seem at times like we're not moving very quickly, not accomplishing a lot. At other times, we feel like we can hardly keep up with everything that's happening all at once. We will probably experience some surprises together, and I can almost guarantee we will make unexpected discoveries together. Along the way, I'll try to keep reminding us that we're not alone. If we continue the journey, if we follow our calling and discern our direction, stay true to our vocation, God is at the center, and we will get there. Praise be to God.